Welcome into the Pursuit of Manliness podcast, where we are vigorously equipping men to pursue biblical manliness. My name is Jarrett Samuels. I'm the host of the podcast. Men, as always, I'd like to begin by thanking you for checking out today's podcast episode. Now, before we get into the episode, I want to take a moment to introduce our newest sponsor, Loader Road Goods out of Coushocton, Ohio. Chris Kent is the owner, the operator, the CEO of Loader Road Goods. He's a military veteran, but more importantly, he's a man of God. And everything he has is hand-sewn, hand-stitched. Look at this journal cover. It has the Quiet Life logo on the front. This time of year, we're always looking to get a journal that we can commit to for the year. We can take notes from our Bible reading, our sermons we sit under, podcasts we listen to. Go visit Loader Road Goods. And when you do, put in the discount code AQUIETLIFE. You'll save 15% off your order. A Quiet Life, all capital letters, one word. When you go to his site, you're going to realize he's got a lot more than journal covers. He's got earrings, purses, sheaths, hatchet covers, the whole, everything. Everything he makes there is hand-sewn, hand-stitched. It's about a two-week turnaround, so I want you to think ahead. Middle of February, there's a big date that we don't want to get wrong. LoaderRoadGoods.com. Men, I've shared before, but there were three components that I felt like were game changers to me when it came to becoming a growing man of God. The first was I had to be committed to being in the Word. That was a non-negotiable. So I'm going to commit to being in the Word every day. I'm going to look at Scripture different and say, okay, what am I going to do with that? What was God teaching me through that? Secondly, I needed to get around high caliber men. I needed to find guys that I could get around, grow with, be sharpened by, that we could have godly conversations. And I needed to be one of those guys as well. And the third one was I needed to build a library of books. I had collected books through the years as far as maybe through education or through, you know, something we read as a staff or whatever. I had books, but I wanted to build an intentional library. And I began to do that over a period of time. And there's been times I've had that on the website, some books that I would suggest. I've done a lot of, you know, when I would interview guys in the early days, ask them books that they would recommend. Well, if you're talking to an author, they're probably going to recommend their own book. And that's nothing wrong with that, you know, either. But, you know, at times I've been trying to share, this is what I'm reading, or this is a book of value or whatever. And one of the things that I feel like became a conviction of mine in the last couple of years was to read less and less books from guys who believe they are great and read more and more books about men who did great things. So to say they did great things, that would mean they're probably no longer here on this earth. That does not always mean that they were men of God. It just means there was something about their life that is noteworthy. That is something we can learn from or pay attention to. And so the last couple of years, I've been more and more intentional about reading about men in history or men who lived during massively historical times in the world or in our country. And that varies from generals to presidents to, you know, whatever. And what I would like to do with the Quiet Life podcast, I'm going to say once a month. If I don't hold to that, I apologize today. But what I'd like to do once a month is share with you a book that I have read and give you some thoughts about it. Perhaps it's something you want to add to your library. This is not a book report. This is not a review or critique of the author. This is just my barely educated review of the book. The first one I want to share with you is this book here. It's called The Strenuous Life, Essays and Addresses by Theodore Roosevelt. Now, I like Theodore Roosevelt. I'm a fan. I post a book that I read about him probably a year or two ago. And it seems like a lot of you guys are aware of Theodore Roosevelt and fans of his and authors that wrote about him and such. I found this book interesting because it would be, obviously, directly his words. This wasn't modified. There was no creative liberty. It was just, these are his words. Essays and addresses by him from 1899 to 1901. So we're talking a different way of living for sure. And right away in his book, and it's, I just, you know, when you get that, when you highlight page one, you know you might have something here. He said, a life of slothful ease, a life of that peace which springs merely from lack of desire or of power to strive after great things, is a little worthy of a nation as of an individual. We do not admire the man of timid peace. It is hard to fail, but it is worse to never have tried to succeed. Freedom from effort in the present merely means that there has been stored up effort in the past. When I thought about that, you know, you say, well, you know, maybe you work real hard and you take a vacation. That's the analogy right there. That's the image right there. You're able to take a week or a day or a nap or whatever because you've put in the work prior to that. But he also paints the picture of the individual who seeks that without putting in the effort within the work. So the strenuous life, he covers some different topics, expansion and peace. Again, different time in the U.S. at that time. He talks about civil helpfulness, be a benefit to your community, be a benefit to other people who live there. He talks about your character. I think that's something that's lost on us a little bit. Character and equal and connecting that with success. I found it interesting that he wrote a whole essay or gave a speech, I don't remember which one, on the 8th and 9th commandment when it came to politics. And the 8th and 9th commandment is don't steal and don't lie. He talks about, you know, if you're measured on one moment or one action, it's not fair. And he gives some illustrations of people who, you know, this action was bad, but this action was good. And he talks about the idea of the American boy. Now I know we have a lot of listeners who don't live within the U.S. Well, you could use the same correlation to wherever you live. And what we want to do is be men who don't fall in line with the culture, but live by scripture. And some of the things he describes as the American boy, I say, that's what young men of God should be doing. Again, this is essentially a collection of speeches and essays that embodies this rough rider mentality and ideal that Theodore Roosevelt was about. He was about, as we talk about raise the standard, he was about that in politics, in your social life, in your personal life, not only for yourself, but also the benefit of others. Roosevelt has a strong conviction that an individual can overcome hardships, but it's going to take some grit. That's what we talked about on Christmas Day. Let's be men who raise the standard on our level of grit. He believed in behavior that was correct, upright, honorable. He believed true leadership would be someone who is teachable and a student at the same time. I think sometimes we get in leadership and we think, I am the knower of all things. The longer I'm in leadership, the longer I realize I do not know all things. He says, as it is with the individual, so it is with the nation. We've said that with the church. As it is with the individual, so is the church. You want to get the church right? Get your home right. You want to get your neighborhood right? Get your home right. You want to get your schools better? Get your home better. Nothing changes till your home changes. We believe one address at a time, but you got to get yours right. But you don't just stay at your address. You don't just say, well, I got mine right. Good luck to the rest of y'all. I mean, if I did that, we wouldn't be having this conversation. So I've learned a couple things. Maybe I'll just keep it to myself. No, I will say this about this book. At times it's difficult to read, and I'll tell you why. One, the font size. I don't know what the font size is. I found it somewhere, but it is small. It is smaller than I would prefer, but hey, I didn't write the book, so font size. It's difficult to read a little bit because of some of the current events, people he's naming, people in power, people, things that are going on in other parts of the world with the Philippines and such. I'm like, I guess I don't remember what's going on there. I don't. There's some older language. The way the sentences are formed is quite different than the way we form them today. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's a challenge to kind of make sure you understand what he's saying. And I'd say the other thing that would make this book difficult to read is we've moved on so far from this. He talks about like the public school system. He's like, it's the perfect place where you know, the Christian, the Jew, the Catholic, whoever, can all come together and all be educated and just realize, like, we're one, we're whatever. I'm thinking, boy, oh boy, if he saw our school system today and all the different weird lessons and agendas and curriculum and stuff. Now, we've moved a long way from that. But it's encouraging to read because he writes about what could be. Even in the midst of a time that's quite different than what we live in now, he writes about what could be. And I think that's a mark of a Christian, is praying for what could be or what we've seen God do before. He writes about the fight, like fighting to overcome. Again, I think we've lost quite a bit of grit. I think there's small remnants of it, but he writes about why we do this. Why do we fight and overcome? Why do we exert effort in there? Why do we embark on that battle? Why do we embark on, you know, these new inventions and adventures? Why? What is the why behind that? He writes quite a bit about just raising the standard, period. I do want to share this with you, page 55. And again, there's so much in here. And again, this is not a book report, just something, you know, I want to share. He's talking about the American boy here, okay? He says, of course we have the right to expect the American boy is that he shall turn out to be a good American man. Now, the chances are strong that he won't be much of a man unless he is a good deal of a boy. Well, who teaches him as a boy? He's supposed to be mother and father. Major gaps in that today, right? It is only on these conditions that he will grow into the kind of American man whom America could be really proud. Can you imagine? We raise our children with the idea that other people will benefit from that parenting. I've said before, I'm not too concerned about how you parent your kid until it affects me. And that's what's happening a lot. There's a lot of negative parenting, a lot of negative stuff going on in homes. I don't know if we're waiting around for other people to fix it. I don't know if we don't have the tools. I don't really know where we're at with that, but I know we got a problem. And I know it begins one address at a time. Page 111, he talks about to do our duty. That is summing up the whole matter. We must do our duty by ourselves. We must do our duty by our neighbors. Every good citizen, whatever his condition, knows first his service to those who are nearest to him, who are dependent upon him. That's what we're talking about. Get yourself right. Help other people. That's his wife, his children. Next, he owes his duty to his citizens. And this duty must perform both the individual neighbor and to the state, which is simply a form of expression for all of his neighbors combined. He must keep his self-respect, exact the respect of others. No worse wrong can be done by a man to his children than to teach them to go through life endeavoring to shirk difficulties instead of meeting them and overcoming them. Boy, could you imagine that family meal? If that's the conversation, we must overcome. We're better if we do. We're developing grit. We're going to live different. We're narrow road people. And not only are we doing it for ourselves and for, you know, our name and who we represent, we're doing it for our Savior. We're doing it for the people that live around us. He does talk about the commandments, and I said before the 8th and 9th. Well, here the 10th, he says, to break the 10th commandment is no more moral now than it has been the past 30 centuries, if he could see us today. The vice of envy is not only a dangerous, but also a mean vice, for it is always a confession of inferiority. You ever think of that? When you envy something someone else has, it's a confession of inferiority. I've said, he just tells you the truth. But here's the thing I know about the way he tells the truth. I'm not sure we could handle it today. I'm not sure a guy like that would not just be torn to shreds today. And I know in his day they tried to do the same. But I believe the collective character that was around him would be enough to say, nope, he's got a point. People must tell the truth, even if we don't want to hear it. They have to tell the truth. And this is what he's doing. I'll end with this, page 118. The true Christian is the true citizen, lofty of purpose, resolute in endeavor, ready for a hero's deeds, but never looking down on his task because it is the cast in the day of small things, scornful of baseness, awake in his own duties as well as his rights, following the higher law with reverence, and in this world doing all that is in him lies so that when death comes, he may feel that mankind is in some degree better because he has lived. Boy, I'll tell you what, if we had more men of God living even remotely closer to that, people would take notice. the way we talk, the way we carry ourselves, the conversations we have, the way we treat one another, brothers in Christ and those who are not, the way we take care of our address, the people within our home, the responsibility we have to the people that live and reside within our home. You say, well, I live by myself. Great, then you are in an incredibly strategic place to help the people to the left or the right. You say, I live in an apartment building. Above and below, whatever it is, we all have people in our life who depend on us to get this right. And if we would live in a way, carry ourselves in a way that says, I'm raising the standard of what it means to be a man of God, I think people would take notice. And when you look at the problems of our culture, the things that ail us, it is overwhelming and quite easy to be defeated. But when you say, we're going to get it, we're going to strive for it, one address at a time. And if I leave this planet and my address is better, the people that live here know I love them, I'm for them, I'm with them, and we follow Jesus, hey, that's a good thing. If I can help some other people do that as well, that's a great thing. Amen. I'll talk to you in a bit.